Welcome to the LTG Live Podcast, a podcast focused on the topics and issues most relevant to leadership in youth ministry. We hope you end this episode feeling equipped and inspired to take your leadership to the next level.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to LTG Live. Peter, I am so excited to be here today, and I'm glad that you're back with us feeling better. I had to bring in a substitute teacher last week for the live stream. Pastor Joey Silva did a great job, but bro, glad you're feeling better. Glad you're back with us, man. How are you?
It's good to be back, man. It's good to be able to sit up straight, and something's going around in Michigan, some kind of stomach bug, but your boy is back, and I feel good.
Let's go. Let's go. Yeah. Hey, we see a bunch of you already logging on. Do us a favor and just go ahead and drop in the chat right now who you are, where you're watching from. We want to give you a shout out, and we'll also throw you up here on the stream as well. So Tim Gruber, I see you there. Karis, I see you out there watching. We're just glad so many of you are joining us. Welcome to LTG Live. It's your first time. Peter and I are here every week Thursday at 11. Sometimes that changes, but almost every week Thursday at 11, interviewing another great guest, talking youth ministry, talking leadership, helping resource you and helping you grow your ministry. So, Peter, we're glad that you're here, man. We're glad that our fans and friends are here too. So this is great. It's just good to see your face again. So how's your family doing?
Man, they are doing great. Everyone is feeling well, and that's what's important right now. We're transitioning into spring. People, it's warm in Michigan. God's on the move.
Let's go.
We've been like 4 days in a row of 60 degrees, bro.
It was like 60 here in Pittsburgh yesterday, and I think again today. So I'm happy, dude. So I see you, Cassie. I see you, Trevor. Ricky, what's up? So many of you are here. This is good. You're going to love this topic today. You should go ahead and tag a friend right now, share the post, click the like button, all that stuff, spread the word, because in just a moment, we're going to introduce our guest for today. Wanted to let you know what we're going to be doing next week, though, real quick. We're kind of stepping outside just for 1 week of the type of guests we normally have. And next week, I have a personal friend of mine and my wife's, Toni McFadden. God is raising her up to be an incredible voice in the pro-life movement. Her husband is a director for Teen Challenge International in Reading, Pennsylvania. And so Toni has a powerful message, a powerful personal story and testimony. And so you're going to want to check that out. It's going to be really good. Peter, you're going to love next week's interview. This is going to be awesome. Yeah, it's going to be really great. Reggie, Nathan, there's so many of you. Arkansas, let's go. Awesome. Really, really good. So let's introduce our guest today. We are so glad to be joined by a new friend of the Lead the Gen fam. Steve John has experience in youth ministry and marketing, and also works with youthpastor.co. Steve, welcome to LTG Live. We're glad you're here.
Hey, woo! Guys, thanks for having me. Excited to be a part. A longtime listener, first time. Being on the show.
Dude, let's it looks go, like you're man. A veteran. Let's you go. Got the plant in the background. The ambiance is perfect.
Hey, this is the best I could do to step up to at least what Aaron has. Aaron's on a whole other level. So I'm just
you
like,
see the lights? Just
throw a light back here. Something.
Listen, you got to make this work up here, guys. You got to make this work. Like, there's, You know what, Steve? I told myself this morning I need to wear a really cool hat today because Steve John always wears cool hats. And today, sorry, you forgot. You're trying to rub it in, aren't you? You're trying to make me feel bad, aren't you?
No, to be honest with you, I just got a fresh cut, so that's why I was like, you know what? Why should I cover it up with a cap?
Let's go.
Let me just show it off.
Come on, all right. I like that.
I love it. So, Steve, Peter, I got a quick question for you just for fun, just so the audience can get to know you a little bit personally, Steve, and Peter as well. But so here's a fun random question for you. If you were still single, because I know both of you guys are married, what Disney princess would you take on a date? Assuming they would say yes, obviously. The assumption is they're going to say yes to you, right? So I want you to raise your confidence level now, and I want you to think big. And Steve, I know you have kids. What do you have, boys and girls or both or just one, or what do you have?
I have one boy who's 2 years old, yeah.
1 boy. Okay. So should you become a girl dad? The question becomes even more important for you. So in one way, I'm helping Peter out because he is a girl dad. In another way, Steve, I'm speaking to your future and potential here.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Disney, Disney
princess.
You're stumped. You usually have a quick answer for my questions, Peter. Like this one's
yeah,
this one's hard.
You know, this one is difficult. It's very challenging because
Is your wife on the other side? Is your wife on the other side of your webcam right
oh,
now?
No,
is that
no,
what's
no.
happening?
No, here? She's not. Okay. She's like, yeah, she's not here. I think I'm gonna have to go with Elsa.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna have to go with Elsa.
Okay.
You know, like I like slushies. And she's frozen. You know what I mean? So, like, the ability to not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to think about, like, she could just make me a slushie. You know, that's amazing.
You made that work.
You're special.
You made that work. Reggie's saying Jasmine from Atlanta. From not Atlanta.
He said
Atlanta,
that way too quick. You know Reggie. What I mean? He's been thinking about this. It's weird, Reg.
Yeah. Hey, Quentin says Quentin. Same thing. It's Jasmine.
Yeah.
Steve,
yeah.
Who you got?
I'm the same, man. I got to go with Jasmine. I've had a crush on her since I was in elementary school. And so I used that as a pickup line to get my wife. I said, hey, babe, if you're with me, I can show you a whole new world. You know what I'm saying? So that's
come on. That's over. The juice right there.
Hey that's over. How I got
We're
her.
Done already. That's your digital strategy right there. Great pickup lines. That's so good.
Wow.
That's amazing. All right. Those of you that are with us, go ahead. Keep dropping it in the chat. Like, where are you going on this question right now? This is good. But
that's awesome.
Hey, Steve, we're so glad that you're with us. Pumped. Thanks for being a part of LTG Live. And you and I have had the opportunity to connect a couple months ago on a Zoom call talking about digital strategy for ministry. We met on a Zoom call. Like one of those random Zoom calls you get invited to, and there's a bunch of people there and a bunch of faces that you don't know. And then the little chat pops up in Zoom and it's like, hey, I'm Steve. I'd love to connect. And I'm like, I know who you are. I want to connect too. And so, interesting. Yeah. Interesting how that works. And so, we're going to jump into this topic, digital strategies to grow your ministry. Before we do that, Steve, just give everybody, especially those of you that don't know you, and they're not, you know, connected with you. Maybe they're not connected with youthpastor.co, and some of the different things that you have done and are doing in ministry. Give everyone a little background, little family ministry background, your business that you run on marketing, some things like that, and help give us a little bit of context.
Yeah. So, just to give you my testimony in short is, I died 3 times in my mother's womb. The umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck and I flatlined. And so the doctors told my dad, hey, there's no way to save your son and your wife at the same time. It's too complicated of a delivery. You got to pick which one do you want them to live, basically. Is it your wife or your unborn son? And so my dad said, you know what? I'm going to choose to stand the promise that God's given me, which is a family. And I'm not going to walk out of here without my family. And so immediately my mom said, you know, I feel like I'm going to go to the restroom. The doctor said, no, that's an opportune time for this delivery to happen. So let's deliver the baby quickly. And so miraculously, you know, I'm still here by God's grace. My mom's okay. And then on my first birthday, the apartment that we live in catches on fire. Everything that we have burns to the ground. Miraculously, I was not in there. I was safe from that. 7 years old, I fall into a pool, don't know how to swim, and went to the depths of the pool. Someone realized I was nowhere to be found. She found my lifeless body at the bottom of the pool, brought me up, resuscitated me back to life. And then at age 14, I was supposed to go on a youth camp trip with my youth group. And at the last minute, I decided not to go. I had paid my deposit and payments to go. And I decided, you know what, let me go to summer school instead of summer camp. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, I would get some credits and graduate early. And so I told my youth pastor, hey, I'm not going to go with you guys. I'll catch up with you guys when y'all come back. And he said, man, we still have room for you. Come on, join us. You can do summer school later whenever we get back. I said, no, don't worry about that. The next day, my youth group leaves to go to summer camp. The bus driver was high on cocaine and didn't sleep for the past 36 hours. He fell asleep while driving. And while he was driving, he swerved into a pillar under a bridge. Four of my friends instantly died. Two of them were ejected out of the windshield and two of them were smashed by the impact in between the seats. Mm. And I was supposed to be on that bus, but 24 hours before that, I made that decision not to go. So I saw God's hand on my life through all of these things. And I knew that God had called me to be, you know, different and just passionate. So I've always had a passion because all these things had happened while I was a teenager or a young person. So I've always had a passion for the next generation. And so growing up, I was able to be, you know, I'm a PK. My dad's a pastor. So I was always brought up in the church. But, you know, yeah. And so, you know, we got involved into a church at a town here in Texas. This is a pretty small town when we first joined. The biggest thing was they had just opened up a Walmart. And so that was the biggest thing in the town to show you how small it was. And so luckily I was brought on board on staff at the church to do graphic design. And like, I was just a young guy. So I was leading worship and basically I was thrown into anything that had needed volunteers. Right. I remember even volunteering for the women's ministry at one point. So I was all throughout all these different ministries. And so, around 22 years old, I got thrown into the youth ministry. And so I loved it and I fell in love with the youth ministry. I had, you know, previously worked as an intern for youth ministry and leaders, like a small group leader, but never the, you know, the youth pastor. And then I fell in love with it. So when I started, I had 9 students. And then by the time I had stepped off as staff, our events were attracting over 300 students. And so God really blessed us and grew that ministry. And a lot of other youth pastors were asking us, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? And so I really felt God calling me to step out in 2018 to equip the Capital C Church. And so I had a great conversation with my pastor and I said, I need to do this. So I had this idea in 2018 to do a virtual conference. And so I said, instead of having people go to a conference, why don't we bring the conference to them? And so I reached out to a couple of my friends. 2019, we did it. I had no organization, no denomination, no company backing me or anything. It was just me and a word from God. And we had 1,100 people show up for the first conference from 7 different countries.
It's amazing.
And then that caught the attention of Youth Pastor Co. And my friend Daniel approached me and said, bro, what if we did this together? I watched what you did last year. I think we can do something really special if we join forces. I said, bro, I would love to join forces with anybody because I would not want to do this alone again. And so we joined forces last year. We saw over 6,400 attendees from 54 different countries. And this Amazing. Year we just announced we have Hillsong College leading worship, Peter Toggs from Hillsong. We have Tim Summers from Elevation, Vince Parker from Life Church. We have so many different youth pastors. Basically, my heart is to equip the church. No matter your budget, no matter the size of your town, does not limit the size of the impact that you can make in your community.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing, man. It's so good. And I mean, I remember that first year that you did your digital conference. And I remember being, I remember thinking like, wow, he's like, you're thinking like so far ahead. Like, yeah, you were really one of the pioneers in, you know, this idea of doing online conferences. And now to see where it's grown over the last couple of years, I just registered for Youth Pastors, you know, youthpastor.co's conference, within seconds of that email coming out. And, cause it looks amazing. And, you know, here at Lead the Gen, you know, Peter, you and I, we got a conference of our own coming up that we'll kick off here and announce in a little bit. But we're kingdom minded, and so we love to partner and we love to be inspired by those that are doing it well. And Steve, you're obviously doing it well, and so we're grateful for you to jump on LDG Live today and excited to have this conversation. So, Peter, let me kick it to you, and I'll just let you kind of start the interview process here, diving into our topic with Steve on digital strategies to grow your ministry. Again, if you're new to LGG Live, thanks for joining us. It's a live stream first. It turns into a podcast after the fact, and you can always listen to it live and ask your questions, drop comments, you know, as we're going through the interview with Steve here. You can also grab us on the podcast, rate it, review it, subscribe, all that kind of good stuff. We are going to drop a link in the chat a couple times throughout the show today for youthpastor.co's conference. And if you haven't registered, it's free. right? So go ahead and click on the link and you can be a part, and it's going to be an exciting. But Peter, let's jump in. Let's learn something from Steve today.
Steve, that's so awesome, man. Really excited. I'm going to register as soon as we get off of this podcast. It sounds incredible. What would you say that, okay, so I'm thinking through the context of a local youth pastor trying to do their best to reach their city. What do they need to be doing online that a lot of, maybe you see a lot, some people are doing it, some people aren't. What are maybe like two or three things that you're like, hey, this needs to be happening digitally for you to reach your community?
Yeah, I think one thing that people need to think about is, for example, when we talk about Zoom, because I know a lot of people jumped in on Zoom to do their services and stuff, Zoom should not be considered a replacement for your ministry. It should be considered a supplement for your ministry. Yeah. The ministry really is more about reaching individually, one-on-one, getting in their world. So whenever I was a youth pastor, I was all about encouraging our leaders about, you know, it's not just good enough to show up on a Wednesday night and lead them in small group, but throughout the week, you know, are you going to their band concert or the football games and just really being in their world? So for context, in a digital world, how involved are you personally in their lives? And then I think in return, you'll see more of an engagement on Zoom. You know, a lot of times, you know, I feel like youth pastors are in this trap of, well, let's just throw up a Zoom link and just have everybody attend. We'll just do a Bible study on Zoom. I think there's different ways to think about Zoom or approach Zoom to be engaging, you know, instead of just preaching to them. I think having a conversation with your students and having your students feel validated, feeling like they have a voice, and if they have questions, they can ask those questions. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot harder to lead worship through Zoom. But why not, you know, play a YouTube video of Elevation Worship and have a moment of praise and worship through Zoom? I mean, don't allow the lack of technology or the lack of resources to stop you from having a creative mindset on how to do ministry effectively digitally. You know, when we think about Generation Z, they are living online. I mean, there's no way about it. For me growing up, I remember having a Razor flip phone was the coolest thing. And now
I had a black one.
Hey, bro, say, I had a black Razor. Before that, a brick Nokia. Man, it was just, I remember all those different things. Through the lens of a student, what are they facing? What are they going through? You know, so many different distractions and strategies. You know, TikTok can be entertaining and useful at times, or if you're not careful, it can be a distraction and a temptation, really. So I think if we have the mindset of, okay, as a youth ministry, what are my goals? Are my goals to reach outside of our normal youth group, or is it to strengthen the core of my youth group? I think when we think in those contexts, it gives us a better strategy on how to go about ministry, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. What are some...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, who are some of the people right now that you see doing this really well that you're like, hey, you should follow them because they're doing a good job digitally engaging their students, using as many platforms as they possibly can. Obviously, they've built teams out to do this, but who do you see doing this well right now?
Yeah, so Elevation Youth is killing it online right now. And I say killing it online is because not just because they do services and you know they have a great service online, but in addition to that, they see the value of community. So what they encourage their students is to have watch parties while they're watching the service online. So that way, those small groups are talking in real time. They're being, you know, engaged through their Zoom conversations, or if they're, you know, having a FaceTime chat on their phones, they're talking in real time about, oh my goodness, that point was so good. I love that. Or, you know, it just has that church community feel in a digital space. And also what I love that Elevation is doing is they're getting into the gaming atmosphere of Twitch. Twitch is a huge platform for gaming, and a lot of young people love gaming. And so they want to be a resource in that gaming world. So they have live digital tournaments where they give away $1,000 for Fortnite competitions. So they're just thinking creatively, how can we attract different youths online and digitally to be involved with our community?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask the question back to Zoom. You know, what are some of the worst trends that you see? Right, as because I do think initially, especially when quarantine hit, everyone we jumped on Zoom like, oh, that's the cure all. That's the kids love being online. So yeah, they're going to love that. And then a month later or two months later, everyone's like, we got Zoom fatigue. And it's not that anything about Zoom changed. You know, Zoom in and of itself didn't get any cooler or less cool. So it has to be the way that we're leveraging it or the way we're not leveraging it. So you've given us some good ideas for how to leverage it. What are some bad ideas that we might need to stop doing when it comes to a tool like Zoom?
Yeah, I think, cringeworthy Zooms I've been a part of where it's just all one person talking the entire time and there's no room for discussion. There's no room for community. There's no room for growth. And so I say get creative and, you know, play games on Kahoot. I know Kahoot is a popular website that people can play games on. You know, share your screen live on Zoom and have your students interact with that. I just think, you know, so many times youth pastors feel like, you know, if I do the same thing that I do live in person, I would get the same results. Well, no, you don't, because the attention span of someone digitally is a lot shorter. It's a lot quicker. Think about it. We're fighting different notifications that are coming on our phones and on our, emails and different, you know, platforms that we're trying to fight against. And so I think with Zoom, we have to be more engaged. We have to think differently. I think throw away what worked for in-person probably won't work for a Zoom chat. So that's one of the biggest things that I've seen a lot of times is just, you know, the youth pastor talking the whole time, not breaking it up into sections. I would say, you know, you don't have to give a 20-minute message on Zoom. Break it out into a discussion format where your kids are interested in wanting to be a part of the discussion.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when I think digitally, you know, obviously processing that with social media. So how do I even begin to create a digital strategy? I know you said kind of what are my goals? How do I go after that? But where do we even begin for the person? Whatever I dream up, I gotta do. You know what I mean? Like whatever I can come up with right now, I have to do. So how do I create a simple digital strategy moving forward?
Yeah. So to attract people to come and be a part of your digital community, whether it's through Zoom or through another platform. One thing that we found effective was, you know, through Instagram. Instagram, not only are you posting pictures, I think the perspective of Instagram should change. It's not just us blasting all this announcements, hey, join us for this. It's more engaging. Hey, you know, let's talk about the Oprah interview that happened with, you know, Prince Harry and Meghan. What do you think about that? Is there racial tension? Get a conversation going on social media, because what will happen is the more engagement that you get on, especially on Instagram, the more that picture would show up on different people's explore pages, which would cause your reach to be so much further. Also use geotags. Tag a location. Tag the local high school that is near you or that you have a lot of pool with. Tag them so that way if anybody goes and taps that location, they see your post within those tags. And so I think a lot of people, if they utilize social media correctly, you can use up to 30 different hashtags. So use hashtags that are location specific, that are subject specific, that would cause engagement. And I think the biggest Gen Z now will check you out before they decide to hop onto your, you know, digital service, whatever the case may be. So you want to make sure that you have a good overall first impression. You want to make sure that you are giving them, hey, this seems interesting. Let's talk about that. Love to be a part of that. And so, yeah. I think just different strategies like that would be brilliant.
So I got a question for you, Steve, about adapting communication styles, because you talked about that a little bit. And then even Karis, who's watching today, you know, she commented about students, you know, getting tired of being talked to virtually, you know, because so many kids are in a school all day long. Right. And so, you know, she says, I think students are tired of being talked to virtually. Some are getting that every day for school. As a school social worker, I'm constantly trying to mix things up to keep students engaged virtually. A training I attended said you have to ask a question at a game or break up the discussion in some way every 7 minutes to keep students engaged. So Steve, add to that list, like, what are some ways that we as youth pastors need to adapt our communication style to an online platform, however you're using it, whether you're doing Zoom, whether you're doing Insta Live, Facebook streams, you know, or, you know, whatever it is. I'd just love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think especially when we're talking about Zoom, I think one great thing is while you're talking, I think it'd be great, you know, while you're talking, you just say, okay, everybody, stop. The first person that can bring me a receipt from Walmart wins a $10 gift card to, you know, Starbucks or whatever the case. You're getting the students to get up out of their seats, get their blood pumping, flowing, running around the house, looking for a receipt like a scavenger hunt. And that's in the middle of your message. That's in the middle of your talk. Why? Because you want students to be engaged and not tune you out. So if there's different, you know, handles or different different ways you can get the students engaged, I think that'd be awesome. Just like Kara said, this is what I was talking about. Instead of just doing the typical norm, let me preach to these students and they're going to hear from it. And then, you know, we'll say, okay, do you guys have any questions? No, break up your format into bite-sized teachable or discussion questions where, you know, hey, let's talk about this for a few minutes. And I just want to hear your thoughts. What do you think? Because more importantly than just preaching, I think listening does so much for youth pastors to figure out where their students are spiritually and what do they need to focus on when they preach or when they teach. So I think out of those questions that you hear from your students, you'll understand, okay, wow, this person has, you know, a question on suicide. I really need to talk about, you know, anxiety or doubt. And so you take that idea, and this is what I would do. Take that idea. I would make a YouTube video. Hey, let's talk about anxiety. Let's talk about, you know, depression or thoughts of suicide. And one thing that you'll see with YouTubers is normally the way they edit their videos is with jump cuts. Jump cuts basically mean you're taking out all the uhs and the ands and the gaps that are between your thoughts, and you cut them down. So that way the attention span for these teenagers and these young people, they're tracking with you. And so when you have a video based on a question that someone asked, guess what? Your students are going to most likely send that video to other friends. Yo, you would not believe what we just talked about. Hey, check out my youth pastor. He just made a YouTube video about it. And I would say even give your students some opportunities to be a part of that that YouTube channel. You know, you can do a POV, a perspective of, or from a viewpoint of a kid going through virtual school, or, you know, living life in a coronavirus age, and just make that into a vlog and just say, you know what, once a week we're going to feature a different student. And I think students will want to be a part of that because they love exposure. Agreed. They love, you know, they love to have their face, you know, in front of a camera or whatever the case may be. So I think if you make students a part of your digital strategy, they're going to be your biggest evangelist for not only your youth ministry, but for what God is doing in your ministry.
Yeah, no, yeah. I love what you're talking about as far as engagement goes, because what I'm noticing, and I mean, I love this about some of the bigger accounts that I follow, or just even, I know I can think of a few smaller ones that just do a great job, is even though it is their ministry profile, I'm speaking specifically on social media now, it feels like a person, you know what I mean? So it's their ministry profile, but it feels like a person. And obviously, like, you follow people because you like the content and they're engaging with you. I think that's awesome. I think it's brilliant. to put students obviously like on, like as a part of your digital strategy, because just like in youth ministry, right? Like I, you know, you figured this out really quickly. And if I want my students to bring their friends, I'm going to put them on the stage. You know what I mean? And I'm going to say, hey, what are you learning? Or, you know, tell us your story or whatever. And then all of a sudden on that night, this kid that wouldn't bring anyone, I tell them, they invite their entire school. Hey, come hear me speak. You know what I mean? But I think it's brilliant to have them be a part of it.
I think one great thing, Peter, to add to what you're saying is like when you put more videos out, especially through YouTube, I mean, challenges are a huge hit on YouTube, right? Hey, let me try to order everything off the Taco Bell menu and let me see how fast I can eat everything. Or, you know, hey, I'm going to order, you know, the ghost pepper or hot ones. You know, we're going to get hotter with the wings and with the questions. I think if you can do different challenges like that, students are most likely to send those kind of videos to their friends. Those friends are going to build a relationship with you, not even knowing who you are, because they enjoy the content that you're putting out on YouTube, which brings down the barrier and them being more comfortable to join you on Zoom, where you can have a face-to-face interaction. Because a lot of students feel a great connection to YouTubers who they've never met before. So why not youth pastors take that same approach and reach your community that way?
Yeah, no, that's super good, man. That's super good for real. What do you think the future of the church looks like? Like, what do you think the future? I love this, by the way. I love ministry projections and predictions. You know, I'm still waiting for the first completely online church. Like, this is all they do. I think that is the future. But what do you see? What do you see as you look at the future of the church?
Yeah, the future of the church, I think it's not good enough just to film your messages, film your services, and put it online. It's not good enough anymore. There has to be a mindset of how am I intentionally reaching people digitally. So like I said, it's not good enough anymore just to put a service online. So what does that look like? And so here's some things that I can see is I can see, you know, the new style of volunteering is, hey, will you help me create a street team? Basically, a street team would be, as soon as we go live, will you share this on your profile? Will you, you know, help invite other people to this stream? And those are your front door greeters now, right? Front door greeters are people that are sharing. Hey, come on in. Welcome. Let's see what's going on. And, you know, before we had coffee, why not put a QR code saying, hey, for the first time guest, here's a $5 gift card to Starbucks if you just give us your connection, you know, if you fill out this digital connection card. So now you have a virtual lobby where people can enjoy Starbucks. They can go to Starbucks, buy their own coffee, and enjoy watching your digital space. And, you know, as far as singing, I think it'd be great if there was not only, you know, just the lower thirds, but if you can add, hey, if you enjoy this music, check out our playlist on Spotify. So the people that are first checking out your stream, if they enjoy the praise and worship, they're listening to this music throughout the week. So I think it's just more ways to engage digitally to, you know, everyday people. Because a lot of times I just feel like, okay, let's just put an iPhone and let's just go live on YouTube or let's go live on Facebook and that'll be good enough. That's not good enough anymore. I think we just need to intentionally create strategies that would not only attract but retain the people, that keeps them wanting to come back to want more from what our ministry has to offer.
You said this earlier, Steve, and I think this is the trap that we fall into is oh, I'll just take what I'm doing live and I'll just do it online, and we're making this assumption that it translates perfectly. Yeah. And you're helping us understand it doesn't translate perfectly, and there's a different mindset or a different thought process that has to take place, you know, in order for us to switch over to that new method. That said, let me ask a question here, and I'll pause here for just a moment. For those of you that are joining us live, you're with us right now, feel free to drop your questions or your thoughts into the chat, because we would love to include you in this conversation. So please do that and just type it up, and we'll get you on the screen here, and we'll give you a chance to kind of talk directly to Steve about maybe thoughts or questions you have about digital strategies for growing your ministry. But here's my question, right? For the person out there who feels overwhelmed by digital ministry, you know, it seems so consuming, time consuming. So how do I do it without losing my mind? Like, so talk to that person who's like, I just need some simple strategies. Don't talk to me about all of the complex stuff. Don't talk to me about the, you know, the jump cuts on the YouTube edits and the SEO on my website and making sure I'm using at least 30 hashtags every time I post on Instagram. That's a little like over, you know, my head. Can you give that person some just simple two or three things they could start doing now that maybe over time would start really helping them?
When we're speaking specifically in the context of youth ministry, I would suggest finding students that are passionate about social media and having a social media team that would help you. Because just because you have a social media account or an Instagram account doesn't necessarily mean that the pastor has to run it every single day. I think if you give students and empower students, hey guys, we have a social media team. Would you like to be a part of it? I would say that a lot of students would be very interested in wanting to be a part of that. And so, you know, when students that are first checking out who you are, I think it would be great to say, okay, number one, how do we stop the scroll? The scroll means, you know, there's so many things that people like to scroll through. So how do we get their attention? Let's stop. And what one of the ways I think would be having students to talk and to say, hey, this is, you know, hey, this is Bill from, you know, Ignite Youth Ministry. You know, here's, you know, three things that I learned from this week's message. 1, 2, 3. And so as they're talking, I think students will be attracted to other students when they hear them speak from their perspective, not only from the youth pastor viewpoint. And so, like I said before, don't make this just an announcement board or just a bulletin board of here's what's coming up. Find ways to engage with them. So digital ministry can seem time consuming. And in fact, if you're not careful, it can be time consuming. But I think if you delegate a lot of those responsibilities out to a social media team, they would take that off your plate and they would show, you know, wow, I love to be a part of this. Let's take this to the next level.
Yeah, that's helpful. So good.
Yeah, it really is. Hey, this is just a jump in direction really quick, but what were your biggest takeaways from running that online conference?
Wow. So 2020 showed me how far the church was behind the curve. I think it's time for the church to stop playing catch up and start innovating. If we as believers of Christ and God has created us with creativity, you have to think in Genesis, when God created everything, he said, let there be light, and there was. He spoke everything until it came to the creation of man. He came and formed man out of the dust. Why? Because he felt like he needed a hands-on approach to humankind. So same thing, when we're reaching other people digitally, we need to stop playing catch up and start innovating. Like you said, what does the future of the church look like? And let's figure out how we can start taking the lead instead of playing catch up. Let's lead the generation, right? And so I think there's some prophetic anointing in that for sure.
Come on. I love that. That's like when they say the title of the movie in the movie. Oh, I love it. I love that.
I knew I liked Steve John. I knew there was something about this guy the moment I met him. Absolutely. Wow. Hey, Steve, this has been such a helpful conversation. One more time, tell everybody who's still with us about youthpastor.co's conference that's coming up on March the 22nd and 23rd. Again, man, LTG, Lead the Gen, we're just kingdom minded. So we just like cheer on, like you guys are doing something that's very similar to what we're going to be doing a little later this spring, but we're cheering you guys on and excited to be a part of it. So we're going to drop that chat in the link one more time. For those of you that want to register now, do it. It's free, but Steve, give us the rundown.
Yeah. So the Youth Pastor Conference, what we're wanting is we have the 20 speakers, 20 sessions, 20 minutes. And so over the course of those 2 days, March 22nd to the 23rd, You're going to be hearing from the leading voices of youth ministry. There's a lot of digital strategies that we're going to be talking about as well, hearing firsthand from Elevation how they do youth ministry now in this digital age. And so I think it'll be great. No matter your size, no matter your budget, like I said before, do not let that limit the amount of influence or the amount of impact that you can have in your community. And so I think hearing from these 20 speakers is going to be a variety of speakers, some people that you know, some people that you don't know, some people of mega churches, some people of smaller churches. And so I think this will cover a wide spectrum of youth pastors, no matter where they are. Our heart is to empower, encourage, and equip youth pastors, no matter where they are, and just help them take their ministry to the next level. So, like I said, we would love for you guys to be a part of this conference and help us, you know, encourage you guys and equip you in any way we can. We want to be linking arms with our fellow youth pastors who are in the trenches of ministry and that are reaching our world for Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited about that. And hey, if you are part of the Lead the Gen fam and you get weekly emails from us, you'll be seeing us dropping some information about Youth Pastor Conference coming up with youthpastor.co, and excited to see you there and be a part of that experience. Next week, Peter and I will be ready to make a big announcement for what we got coming up with Lead the Gen, and we're partnering with Youth Pastor Co on it too. So we're excited about that. So it's great. Yeah. LDG Live is brought to you by one of our core sponsors, and it is WorldServe International. And we're so excited to be in partnership with them. They're doing incredible things, changing the world and specifically Africa through their initiative to provide clean drinking water. You may not know this. It's so simple for us here in America. You want a bottle of water, you grab it. You want water from a faucet, it's there. But over 790 million people on the continent of Africa do not have access to clean drinking water, which basically means they're spending on average 4 to 6 hours a day walking, collecting water, carrying it, and it's full of all kinds of disease, which creates all sorts of health issues for children, for women, for men. And so we're excited to be partnering with WorldServe, helping make a difference. And if you're a youth pastor, I'd highly encourage you to go to worldserveintl.org, check out what they're doing, see how you and your youth ministry can be a part of making a difference for a bunch of people on the other side of the world, but are so desperately in need of it. So this has been great. Peter, let me kick it to you to close us out today. If you got any follow-up for Steve, feel free to do it. But Steve, thanks so much for being here with us. We appreciate it. We're excited to see how God's using you. And we're excited to be a part of the Youth Pastor Conference coming up.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just say this, you know, to hear a podcast like this or be a part of a stream like this, a lot of information, a lot of ideas being thrown out, but really dive back in and figure out what's best for your context. But I think the thing that I took away, Steve, from what you said is we have to make a change. Like, we can't just say, well, that was good. You know, at some point it has to be good enough to apply. And so I think you gave us a ton of great ideas, some things that we really need to think about to be more effective. And you know what, even the way you talked about it, you know, when people were like, well, I'm not with the attractional model. Well, you need to be, because we're called to win people to Jesus. And we have a lot of work to do. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the wisdom and for the insight today. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Steve, thanks for being with us. Peter, as always, thanks for co-hosting. Those of you that are still with us on LTG Live, thanks for being here today, being here every single week. Next week, Thursday, our time changes just for that 1 week to 1:30 p.m. Tony McFadden will be with us. Going to be an incredible interview with her. You're going to love it. And thanks for being a part. We love you. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of LTG Live. And a special thanks to those that give generously to our ministry. It's people like you that make what we do possible. If you enjoyed this episode, consider investing at leadthegeneration.com, as well as subscribing, sharing online, and tagging us at LTG Conference.